May I have your attention, please?
Your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
Greetings and welcome to Attention, Please, the program we air on KPTZ to draw our attention to the good work being done in our community. I'm Phil Andrus. Once again, I'm focusing on my hometown of Chimicum with Katie McCoy and Phil Vogelzang of the Chimicum Corner Farm Stand, a.k.a. for those of us who live out that way, we call it the Corner Store. Kellen Lynch of Chimicum Schools Feed Program, F-E-E-D. You'll hear about that from Kellen. Ben Wilson of the Olympic Housing Trust and Sarah Spath of the Jefferson Land Trust. Ben, I've not met before. Sarah has been here many a time. Phil and Katie are also new, and we're going to start with them, so I need to make them both be unmuted, which I've succeeded with Katie anyway, and maybe soon with Phil. Greetings to you all. Are you ready? I'm ready. Oh, no, 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 no. Why is that doing that? We don't want to hear fiddle tunes. Yes, it's a management issue of iTunes, of course. Hi, Phil and Katie. How are you?
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
So two Phils.
Thanks for having us today.
You're welcome. You know, I'm really darned excited. I live 2.5 miles from the Corner Store, and I've been following it. I have friends who work there. It's just pretty dear to me. And when I learned that y'all had bought the property and the building, you know, I could have, if I were a dancer, I would have danced for joy myself.
That's the fiddle tunes.
That is the fiddle tunes we just heard, but I was sitting in my chair as I well should be doing. So how did you manage this? You've been trying to buy the property in the store for a good long while, hadn't you?
Yes. We've been probably wanting to buy the property for about 10 years. Some of it is we've just been so darn busy running the store that it's been hard to concentrate on things like buying the property. Some of it had to do with problems related to there was a leaking underground storage tank in Bill's garage across the street 15 years ago. Those tanks have been removed. But 15 feet down, there was a plume of petroleum that went under our driveway. And so technically it was difficult to buy the property just for liability issues. And, the landlords have actually diligently been working on that ever since. And the numbers have gotten better and better to the point that, early last year, both the Bill's garage side of the property and our side of the property were deemed cleaned up. And officially no further action is required other than some continued monitoring, which is just really exciting news for Chimicum that frees up things. So once that happened, it was a pretty straightforward, easy deal to make.
And I knew about the plume. I did not realize, however, that it came all the way underneath the road, all the way into your underneath your parking area. It's good news.
Yeah.
Did it fix itself, or did you have to? I don't remember you digging in the parking lot.
It mainly fixed itself through a natural. It's called natural attenuation, but the tanks were removed. Like I said, they also removed some contaminated soil, and they did inject some, I forget what it's called, Petrolex or something, some carbon-based mediation stuff, and nature kind of took care of it.
Okay. Well, now that you own the property and you own the building, what in the world are you going to do?
That's the question. The first priority is taking care of the store. That's our primary concern. And at the time that we bought the property, we had 1.5 years left on our lease with no further renewals. And so with that, it was hard to invest a lot of money in taking care of the store. So the stuff that we need to do to start with is not very glamorous. We need to upgrade our existing septic system. We need to bring in more power to the store. We're way underpowered, and then redo our electrical stuff. And then we need to regrade the parking lot so we have fewer potholes going into the future, hopefully, deal with the porta potty situation, and then eventually deal with the entryway to the store and upgrade the produce porch. So that's going to take our attention for the next immediate future. And after that, the more exciting stuff that you probably want to talk about is what we're going to do with the rest of the property. About, you know, we bought 6 acres, 5 of which is commercial, and essentially the store sits on about a quarter of it. And so what are we going to do with the rest of it? And, you know, one possibility is that Katie? We need to someday build a new grocery store because we're okay. kind of maxed out where we are now. Mm-hmm. Another possibility is we need to build a commercial kitchen. Right now we use the Finn River Kitchen across the way, which is a wonderful facility. But there's a lot of people that would like to use that kitchen if we moved out. And then the third possibility would be, building infrastructure to help with more food hub type things, which would be providing storage and processing facilities for growers and producers, acting as a central distribution facility for moving local goods about, and possibly even building a cut and wrap meat facility.
So you do have lots of plans. When I look at the building,
it's a lot.
When I look at the building, and I guess you probably do too, I was assuming there was a good chance that the building would go and you would start fresh. But at least for the time being, you're not going to do that.
Well, it's hard because we got to continue to run the building while we, that's what makes remodeling so hard. Because we're using every inch of that building, and I don't know how we remodel and still continue to serve the community. And plus, I mean, it was an auto parts store, and we cobbled it all together. And if you were going to start from scratch and lay something out, there's a lot of ways you could build a more efficient grocery store.
But maybe you'll add on to the present one then, because I know it's awfully crowded.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we will never, I don't think we will ever tear that building down. It's just too dear to everyone's heart. So it's possible that in the future that will become more of the food hub facility, or maybe the commercial kitchen with a little eatery out front.
So a little bit about the two of you. I know that Phil is a physician, what sort, I don't recall. Katie, mm-hmm. I know you're an artist. I would imagine that you've been trained to do other things besides that. Did either of you imagine, well, I'll say 15 years ago, that you would be in the grocery business?
No.
I blame Phil for this.
How did it happen? Why did it happen?
Well, from my perspective, it was years ago, I started reading a guy named Wendell Berry and a guy named Wes Jackson, and I got very involved and interested in the whole idea of agrarianism. And that's what got me started on a quest to buy some rural property. We looked around Western Washington, but Katie was kind of, what's wrong with my husband kind of approach. But I, you know, looked at properties and ultimately found a little piece of property on Egg and I Road in Chimicum and fell in love with it. And that's what got the ball rolling.
Well, I live on Van Trojan Road, but I never thought and don't own a grocery store. Where is the connection?
Well, I think what happened is to really appreciate what happened is you have to, we bought our property in 2008. And what was happening in 2008, you know, you had Nancy McDaniel, on your program a few weeks ago, and she talked about the history of Chimicum and the, you know, its strong history of dairy farming and then the demise of the dairy farms. And, you know, the farming sort of reached a real rough patch. In about 2000, a lot of people began working on securing farmland and getting it in the hands of a new generation of farmers. The Jefferson Land Trust declared it one of their missions in 2003. The Landworks Collaborative was formed. And whatever they did really worked, because if you think about all these big farms that we take for granted here, let me look at my notes. But in 2003, Dharma Ridge formed. In 2005, Red Dog formed. Spring Rain, Finn River, and Maduri all formed in 2008. And the land, the Chimicum Grange, which had been closed for several years, reopened in 2008 and started the farmers market in 2008. So that's what we moved into. And if you take Phil's sort of excitement about what he was interested in, and then we met Malcolm Dorn, who was had a lot of idealism about what could happen at that corner, and it just all kind of happened.
I have commented to friends
without either Malcolm, Phil, or I actually having any practical retail or let alone grocery business experience. Plus, Malcolm and Phil were had full time other jobs. How I got involved. Even though I wasn't one of the initiators, I was the one without a full time job. So,
and am I correct in saying that you're the person responsible for the little chick logo?
Yes, yes. My title is basically co-owner and mascot manager.
Okay.
I you know, it kind of crept up on me. I got sort of lured into being involved basically because Phil wanted to paint the building and I wanted to pick out the color. And then I got inspired about a mural and there was a little chick drawn. And pretty soon, you know, that became the mascot and it was a slippery slope from there. So
if you were to do what you went to college to do, what would that be?
Well, I was actually a physician before I was an artist.
Too. I didn't know that.
That's how I met Phil.
We went to medical school together. I met her the first day of class.
Oh.
Swept her off her feet. University of Washington, 1980.
My career has been circuitous, to say the least.
Wow. Well,
I practiced for 10 years in Seattle, and I just it wasn't for me, and I kind of burned out and really was more passionate about art, and that's what I was trying to do in 2008 when all this sort of took over.
So you said you have 1 acre of non-commercial property.
Yes.
What are you going to do with that?
You want to talk about that, Phil?
Sure. One of the big needs for the store, as you know, there's no sewage in Chimicum. It's being put in the Hadlock, Irondale area. So we have to survive on our own septic system, and we have a very limited one. The nice thing about that 1 acre of non-commercial property is it will, I hope, serve as a drain field for our future operation. And it seems like it's the right size. So, yeah, that's the plan, is to use that for future commercial kitchen-type drain field.
I want to thank both.
Ideally, if it's big enough, we would like to share that with the land trust and the housing stuff that's going to happen over there.
There's
which I know
a
you're
lot of people in the community
in
that would love to share a drain field. But nevertheless, I want to thank you both. I'll congratulate you. I will tell you, it wasn't every time that I've been to the store, but I knew something of the tenuousness of the lease situation, and I worried about it. I worried about you because I want you to be there, and now you're going to be there, and I'm really glad for
that. Yeah, it's very exciting.
Okay, well,
thanks.
We owe a lot to our staff and the growers and producers in our area and the customers to ensure the long-term stability of that store, that it keeps serving our community. So.
And
that's
among other things,
it's
a tourist attraction. Who wish to know? Thank you very much. I'm going to say goodbye to you. I'm going to turn to Sarah Spaeth, who is to my left. And you introduced Sarah. Sarah is, by the way, with the Jefferson Land Trust. What's your title? I've forgotten.
I am now the Director of Conservation and Strategic Partnerships. And thanks for having me on, Phil.
Yeah. What does that mean, by the way? Not the thanks for having me on, but the title that you just mentioned, just told us about.
Well, I get to do the fun stuff at the Land Trust and with the community. I get to work with landowners and partner organizations like the Landworks Collaborative that Katie mentioned, and work with granting agencies and a lot of other partners to actually bring conservation projects to fruition. So it's been a large part of my job in one form or another for all the years that I've been with the Land Trust.
And what is your interest in the corner store, the property, and perhaps adjacent property? Before we went on the air, you said something about Chimicum Commons, and I don't know that I've heard that term.
Yes, well, my interest in the corner, downtown Chimicum, really was a result of working with Landworks partners and the agricultural producers and the community to see the farmland not only protected, but really actively being farmed. And we know that it takes producers that have the access to resources and technical assistance and markets. And so it was really exciting to me when Phil and Katie and Malcolm all came together to see the corner farm stand arise from that corner. But also, I think that through the Landworks partners and seeing what was happening in Chimicum and with other farms, we recognized that housing was really an issue, not only for the temporary farm workers, but also for longer-term farm managers and food systems workers. And when we haven't had an opportunity in 2014 to buy the adjacent 16 acres adjacent to the corner farm stand property.
So there's more land involved.
There's 16 more land.
Acres, you're saying.
16 acres. And because it is so centrally located in downtown Chimicum, we named it Chimicum Commons. And this 16 acres had a long history of agricultural use. But it also abuts Chimicum Creek as it runs by the Grange. And it also has some density under the current zoning to allow for some housing. And so when we were able to acquire this from the previous landowners, we kind of looked at it and thought, you know, this piece has a lot of potential to serve multiple purposes. And it was really an exciting proposition to think of it in that way. Could we serve a number of our land trust missions, which was fish, farms, and community, but recognizing that we're not a housing
organization. I was going to say the very same thing. That is not, I was on the board years ago, and I followed the land trust and talked with you on the air about it, and getting involved in housing is something that I would not have thought you would be either willing or really able to do.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. And so we did a lot of feasibility study in the early days of our ownership of this property to figure out, well, could it accommodate some housing? But we recognized that we weren't going to be the organization to actually do this. We just needed to know, was it possible? So we hired different consultants. Kate Dean actually was a consultant for us on some of the early feasibility analysis and due diligence. And then we had a contract with the Washington Office of Rural and Farmworker Housing. They did some more feasibility. And then there was a CERD process. It was a Living Communities grant that was awarded to kind of study downtown Chimicum and what would make it more livable. And there was a lot of community engagement around that process. And housing absolutely bubbled up as being important. But at that point, we knew that we were not going to be the ones to do this. And so we kind of put the project on pause for a while until we could work with the community to find an organization that could really take that on.
And I bet that Ben Thomas is here for that reason. But Sarah, one more question. Yeah. Have you, like, developed on a piece of paper or probably on a computer or a dozen computers a plan for this property?
There have been a number of great visuals created, and actually Katie created one of the early visuals that combined both the agricultural use of the property with the fish habitat and a potential trail and housing clustered in an area. And then we worked with Richard Berg, local architect, on some initial design plans. And so that vision's always kind of been in my head, and I think that it's helping inform this next chapter that does involve the Olympic Housing Trust, and we're very excited to have this partnership.
Is there anything on your website, any pictures on your website? Not yet
on our website.
Let's talk to Ben Wilson then. Olympic Housing Trust, I don't know a thing about you. Tell me what you do, how long you've been trying to do this, and so forth.
Hi, Phil. I'm really happy to be here. Yeah, in fact, I'm actually on the board of the Jefferson Land Trust as well as the Olympic Housing Trust. And that's why I'm very involved in this Chimicum Commons project. I moved here with my family 3 years ago to Port Townsend after a long career in technology. And my kids are very involved in urban farming and the environment, and it kind of inspired me to get involved with both of these organizations, and I just love their mission. But the Olympic Housing Trust has been around in some form for about 20 years. Originally, it was called Homeward Bound. and then morphed into the Olympic Housing Trust in recent years. And the Olympic Housing Trust is focused on a community land trust model to create what we call a permanent affordable housing. It was a model that was developed in the Northeast primarily to get families from traditionally disenfranchised groups into housing. And so it was a model that the Olympic Housing Trust thought would be a great way to create affordable housing here. And basically the way it works is that the Olympic Housing Trust buys the land and then leases it to the homeowner at a very low price, like a 100-year lease at a very low price. And then we build the home and then sell it to them at a reduced price because they agree to only allow the appreciation for resale to be 1.5% per year. And so through those mechanisms, we're able to create permanent affordable housing. And so because of that track record, because we've done work at Dundee Hill, that's our sort of primary property here in Port Townsend, but we have properties in Clallam and Jefferson County, and you know, several that are near Port Angeles right now. We've signed a memorandum of understanding with the Jefferson Land Trust, the Olympic Housing Trust did, in July last year to be the organization to build housing for Chimicum Commons.
So I can see there's some possibility that I am not going to get to the recording of my interview with Kellen Lynch. Kellen, if you're in Mexico somewhere listening, and you may very well be, you and Rachel, we'll get to that another time. Or maybe I'll squeeze it in, but I don't see that that's possible. So, mm-hmm. Ben Wilson, you have your eyes on that 16 acres, don't you?
We do. And the current zoning allows for us to build five different facilities or buildings on the property. We're working through with the county sort of the density issues. There are some regulations in terms of how many houses per acre. But we hope to raise the money and to build the housing for the agrarian workers, forestry workers for the region. The idea is that around the collaboration and the sort of the vision of around the collaboration is that, you know, that agriculture is the primary economic development engine of our region, and we can't expect to build that engine if we don't have housing for the people that are going to work the land. And our broader mission is to provide housing for those people, like teachers and firefighters and service workers that are sort of priced out of the current housing market but are necessary for our community to thrive.
So five homes on 16 acres is not your plan, I'm quite sure. Tiny houses, moderate-sized houses, more likely?
Yeah, we're looking at a range, everything from community-based living where multiple families could live in the same facility, the same home, to small homes as well, tiny houses, because some of the workers will be seasonal, so we'll have different types of housing depending on whether the people are going to live there with their family indefinitely or whether they're there for a shorter time just to work there or just there for a few months.
I'm pretty sure that the county commissioners are behind your project, but how about the people who work for them in DCD, community development, the shall I say bureaucrats? How are you working with them and how are they responding to you? And don't mention any names.
Well, I can say that Kate Dean sits on our board, so that's been helpful in collaborating with the county. They seem very positive about the project. Of course, the county, every government agency in this region realizes that we have a housing crisis and it's something that needs to be solved. And they have people knocking on their door every day saying, you got to solve this. And so they are looking for solutions. And so they see us as one of those possible solutions. And so they are, but you know, they are, it is a bureaucracy and they are bureaucrats and there's a process that we have to go through. And so there may be some petitions we have to put through in order to get some exceptions to certain regulations in order to have more density or to build certain types of housing or to build temporary housing or seasonal housing. So, yeah, so it does take a lot of collaboration. Luckily, in collaboration with the Jefferson Land Trust, we're doing that work. Jefferson Land Trust is really good at that sort of work. That's what they've been doing for a long time, is working with regulators to conserve land, and so they're a great partner for that.
Indeed. However, the concern I have, and didn't necessarily save it for last, but there is no sewer there, not likely to be a sewer there. The sewer will be staying down by the Port Hedluck Business District. And what you're talking about is going to generate a lot of waste. The health department has often been the biggest bugaboo of all when it comes to building in the county, any other county too, Washington State, every other state. How are you planning to deal with all that poop?
Great question. It's a central challenge for us. I don't really have the answer to that today. I mean, we plan to build out septic capacity, and we're working with regulators on that, working with the community. We had a community meeting recently in Chimicum with all the business owners, including everyone on the radio today. And that was a central issue that we all discussed and something we need to push forward as a community. But certainly the Olympic Housing Trust will be at the forefront of trying to push that through.
Okay, and Sarah, your experience in working with the health department, do you have a way of persuading them in means that others of us have not?
No.
Okay.
Simple answer is no.
There's the challenge then,
but,
right?
But I do think that the county sees the benefit of this project and is going to be thinking creatively with us to accomplish it. And I think that the idea of this project serving multiple functions, the protecting the fish habitat, protecting a good portion of the property for ag, and for housing, I think that in the earlier conversations with the county, they demonstrated a lot of interest in helping make this happen.
I have to wrap this up.
This land is your
land. And there it is. The background music. We're going to fade that out a little bit. This has been one of the busier editions of Attention Please, but not so busy as I'd planned. Sorry, Kellen. Reflecting the hive of community activity that buzzes around Chimicum these days, my thanks to Katie McCoy, Phil Vogelsang, Ben Wilson, and Sarah Spaeth for joining me on Attention Please. Attention Please airs each Monday at noon and at 5 on Saturdays at noon, is posted as a podcast at kptz.org. Sometime today, the first day of its broadcast, the music in the background and soon to be in the foreground is familiar to you all. This Land Is Your Land by Woody Guthrie. Thanks for listening. I'm Phil Andrus.
I roamed and rambled and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond desert. All around me, a voice was a-sounding. This land was made for you and me. There was a big high wall there that tried to stop me. A sign was painted, said private property. But on the backside, it didn't say nothing. This land was made for you and me. When the sun comes shining, then I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving, and the dust cloud rolling. A voice was chanting as the fog was lifting. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land.